I'm going on an adventure!
You may quest the way you like. I will quest the way I like.
What is your quest?
This is the first stop on your first quest. We shall go together.
What kind of a quest?
An ancient seer who helps many on their quest.
If it's for the quest, we will do what needs to be done.
Will be my quest.
For the quest.
Your quest.
Let us quest!
This quest sucks.
Episode 2, Quest for 100. We are back.
The quest for 100!
You're gonna need to do that again so I can get you on video when you do that.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna get you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's the quest!
There it is.
For 100!
Nice. All right, we nailed it. There was one cut back to me laughing, but that's just so everybody's like, whoa, that's a little too much. Oh, that's okay. No! What's happening?
It's happening.
This is going on. So we were not banned from the internet for our first episode, so that's good. Good win right there.
We were actually accepted pretty quickly by iTunes and Stitcher. The good folks at Apple, just they love us.
Yeah, and that sucks because I've had a couple other podcasts where it takes like 2-3 weeks, but this was like, well, we're on. Yeah, that's good. You guys are generic and white bread enough to get on there.
You're right. That might be where we succeeded, though, is where you failed and we just learned from your mistakes. So that's okay. That's having a growth mindset. And yeah,
it's what happens when you don't drop as many F-bombs as my other podcasts do. So
that's true.
So good stuff there. So episode 2, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We appreciate it. We're gonna do our best here to make sure you're getting not only my horribly white pasty face, but also that horribly not as white, but definitely horribly pasty face. Sorry about that, V, but you know I'm calling you out, man.
So, truth. We try to speak the truth on the quest for 100 here. You know, we try to tell it like it is.
Yeah, and man. That's how you know you're on a quest with somebody that's got your back when they tell you the truth. So that's what that's all about. We're here to help each other. That's what's important.
Absolutely. And the tagline, of course, for all of our quests for 100 episodes is that friends do not let friends quest alone.
Hell yes. And I can't wait. I'm telling you, Mest 5150 from Mousecore had a phenomenal idea that definitely has to be a shirt. So
we got to make a shirt for sure. For sure, we got to have that shirt. So if you're joining us for the first time, you can always go back and listen to the first episode where we really introduced this topic. But basically, we're watching 100 films in the theater this year in 2018. It's about 2 movies a week, 8 movies a month. And so we come in here and we just review, give you a real quick synopsis of what we've watched since the last time that we talked to you, what we liked, what we didn't like so much, and the rest of our experiences.
Yeah. So there you guys go, man. This is all about supporting the movie industry, our love for movies, and that's what we're doing here. We're getting out there. We're getting in the theater. We're supporting that, supporting the sacred art of movie theater watching, and that's included with our favorite snacks and treats of all time.
Lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby. But before we actually get into some of the show, I have to ask you, man, because I was thinking about this when I was watching my last movie. Okay. I saw Hostels 2 days ago. So
I have not seen it yet.
Oh,
dang it,
dude, so good. Absolutely visceral, brutal filmmaking. Okay. In that, I mean, very, very good visually. I loved it. So
okay.
Yeah, was a big fan, 100%. So, but what's like your favorite movie going material? Like, do you like candy? Do you like popcorns? Oh. Like, what's kind of your movie snack?
Ooh, let me tell you, I'm a Sour Patch Kid, yo.
Ooh, nice.
I love sour chewy candies. I mean, I like. Don't get me wrong, I love chocolate. But when I'm at a movie theater, I want something sweet and usually something chewy. So Red Vines, Sour Patch Kids, of course, popcorn. Got to have me some soda. Those are my standard fares for movie going experience.
Nice. Any like particular drink with that? So with the soda, like, do you have to have like a perfect mixture of sweet and salty and that soda to wash it down? Like, what's kind of your thing?
It depends on if I'm bringing my own or not. not that I'm not trying to support it, but if you don't carry Mountain Dew, like, we can't be friends.
It's so hard to support you. It's hard to support you if you don't have Mountain Dew in the theater.
Got to carry Pepsi, people. Carry Pepsi, please. But if they don't carry Pepsi, I'll go with a Pib, you know, Mr. Pib or Dr. Pepper.
There you go. Nice. One of the local, like, the little indie theater I like to go to, they just installed the, like, Coke mixing, like, you know, 150 yes. combination flavor machines. I took a date to one of them, and this date was amazing. She's one of my favorite dates. It's, you know, it's my sister, so I like to go to the movies. It wasn't creepy, I promise. Awkward. It was not weird like that. Where I'm in California, not Alabama. Sorry, I take that back. I love Alabama.
Strike that from the record.
Strike that. But no, so it took her like 40 minutes to pick a damn soda because she's trying to mix in like this and that. And I was like, oh my God. Well, she's, you know, she lives in like Humboldt County. So she's never seen technology like this before. It feels like in her life. So in
Humboldt County, there's other reasons why you might be kind of zoned out at the machine too.
she thought that was the movie screen right there. She's like, this is so cool. Like it's just right here in the lobby now.
This is the best experience ever.
but it was funny to see that happen. I personally don't like soda in the movies. First of all, I'm not a big soda drinker anyways. Sure. I like just a nice cold bottle of water. But the key to this is M&M's. Either plain or peanut. You know, sometimes I'm in there like peanut sounds great. Other times just plain. But one of the theaters that's next to me, they have like the old school like scoop and whey candy, like so you can like scoop out like Sour Patch Kids, M&M's, you know, whatever you want into a bag of stuff and weigh that, and that's how they, you know, that's how they pay for the candy, is you just weigh it at the end of the line basically. But what's great about it is I can do peanut M&M's, regular M&M's, Reese's Pieces, and then maybe a Junior Mint or some Milk Duds, you know, or, you know, anything like that. And I have this bag of greatness that I take into the theater. I shake that sucker up. And it's just a new handful of amazing things every time I'm in there. So I love it, man. I love that theater. I love that experience. That really, it takes it to the next level for sure.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Sounds just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I love it.
I need to have that in my life. Have that.
Yeah, it's a absolutely killer. So
real quick, shout out to producer Jack Malice, producer and founder of Malice Corp, who was just trying to call me in the middle of this recording. So,
we obviously haven't hit him up and told him we're not playing Monster Hunter this evening. We're gonna be recording a show instead of Monster Hunter.
I don't know where you're at in movies, but I'll be honest. I'm gonna start this off with some honesty. I am one movie behind because my utter existence right now outside of work has been consumed by Monster Hunter.
So yeah, absolutely. This is the first week of February and it's two a week. I've only watched one. So I myself also currently at this time am one behind, but when we're done with the recording, I think I'm going to go catch a flick instead of hopping on the system. So I'll probably go catch a flick. I got a theater right around the corner. I'll go check that one out and see what's going on.
I think I'm going to hit one tomorrow before we record our normal Malice Cast live podcast. I think I'm going to try to hit one tomorrow, and then I'm going to hit one Saturday morning for sure. And then Sunday night, going to hit one too. And by the way, do you know what comes out? When you're listening to this, it'll be probably 4 days, but you know what comes out in 7 days, Matt?
I don't know. I haven't heard of any big movies in February. I figured we could go through a kind of what's happening in February, and there's nothing big on the list, man. There's nothing like huge in February. It kind of sucks, man. It's going to be a dead month for the most part.
Bunch of late movies.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not hyped for anything at all this month. No. I mean, I have zero hype, zero excitement for any movie hitting the theater this month. I don't know what could possibly be going on this month that you're excited about. Because, I mean, I don't know why you haven't even having a countdown. Is something happening? Like, why are you counting down? Is a birthday coming up or something that I need to know about?
Black Panther.
Oh!
Dude, how excited are you for Black Panther?
I am horribly excited for Black Panther, and that's a problem because I think I might be too hyped for Black Panther right now.
It scares me how hyped I am for the movie itself, the soundtrack, the actors and actresses that are gracing the screen. Dude, the producer, I am like jacked for this movie, and it scares me.
Oh my gosh, dude, I can't agree with you enough. Is I'm almost too worried that I'm too hyped. I have big hopes for the film. I'm really excited for it, but I'm worried.
I am too.
What's echoing right now?
Your beautiful face.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
I don't hear an echo, do you?
I was, but I don't know why. But that's okay. I don't hear it now.
That was our awesomeness resonating.
Is that what that was? Is that what's happening? Yeah, I did not.
I just want to throw a quick shout out to if you're into comics like Matt and I are, and you want to get back to the origins of some of these stories. And Black Panther came out in the 60s. Yeah, early 60s.
Yep.
You should totally check out Turbo Comics. They're on Twitter at Turbo Comics ID. You can find them on Facebook, Turbo Comics. They're a great group of dudes, and anything you need comic wise, they will find for you, and they will even ship it to you. Ooh, so
I like
that. So if you're missing that like one comic, or you want to get it started in a new series, they're the place to go. So Turbo Comics ID on Twitter, or again, check them out on Facebook where they have their Facebook store. Because I would love to go back and get into the origins of Black Panther, because that story is pretty phenomenal.
Nice. Yeah, no, I think, you know, T'Challa and Wakanda, mm-hmm. I don't think people realize how central they have been, especially to some of the more recent major crossover storylines with the Marvel Comics. A couple years back, 2-3 years, maybe more, actually maybe might be 4 or 5 now, shit. The Avengers versus X-Men series that was out was phenomenal. And, you know, that was a place where, you know, they were going for refuge was in like Wakanda. And even the Civil War books that have gone down as, you know, one of Marvel's more recent classic hits. You know, once again, Wakanda was a great piece for there as well. It's amazing how much T'Challa, his people, his country play in the roles of saviors and sanctuaries in the Marvel universe. And it is a really cool place, man. I've always enjoyed when they're like, well, we gotta go to Wakanda. I'm like, hell yeah, page turn, let's check this out. You know, it's just always gorgeous.
What do you mean we got to go? What do you mean we got to go? We get to go, you mean?
We get to go, yeah, you know.
It's a get to.
Absolutely. So I think it's great. I'm really excited for this film. I can't, the hype behind everybody that's in it, all of the actors, the actresses, the director, I think all the right pieces are there. Now let's hope, like I said, we haven't been hyped out of our seats of our pants to miss out on something that's great, that they don't actually have something that messes this up and it becomes a ladder step for Avengers Infinity War instead of being a phenomenal Black Panther film.
Yeah, we were talking about that off. Man, I almost knocked over my pop. No, we were talking about it off camera that, like, you know, we want this to be an amazing Black Panther movie and not just another puzzle piece to Infinity War. So.
There's gonna be a puzzle piece. I think they're gonna reveal an Infinity Stone being in Wakanda or something like that, powering the country. You know, I think something like that'll happen, but I want that to be a very small piece. I'd like that to be like an after credits kind of thing or an Easter egg hidden within. Yep. I hope that doesn't become a major part of a storyline. I hope we get something that not only Black Panther deserves, but that story deserves, you know, that Wakanda tale, the epicness, the scope of that. I don't know about you, man, but is it weird that Black Panther got released in February? Is that just me, or do you think that how much of that was planned for Black History Month? I don't know if is that too tongue in cheek by Marvel to have the black superhero film in Black History Month?
I don't want to get into that. I'm just be straight up. I don't want to speculate and say something that I, not that I shouldn't say, but I think it was purposeful. Was it them trying to sell more tickets because of that? I don't know if that's the case. I don't want to put that on Marvel. You know what I mean?
What I really hope is, I hope it was actually more thought out than that. Honestly, I think this superhero franchise deserves that, and for yes. more reasons than just Black Panther's awesome for the Black community, for the lovers of Black superheroes, for sure. I'm a huge fan of Black Panther. I think it's phenomenal. What I hope is they saw that things like the Solo movie is coming out in May. You know, other pieces for Avengers, you know, Avengers is coming out in the summer. It's going to be the summer blockbuster film. I hope they just said, you know what, let's start off first quarter with a bang and let's do it Black Panther style and do this the right way. And I hope that that wasn't part of the decision. I think you're right. I absolutely hope.
Yeah. And that's all thing. I'm saying is like, I just don't want to put that on Marvel, and I don't want that to be a reason that people, I don't know. I don't know if Marvel wants this, but I'm okay if it does what like Wonder Woman did, and that it just establishes, Wonder Woman established that strong female superhero character, and it was freaking awesome. I'm okay if that's what Black Panther does. I don't want that to be the talking point. You know what I'm saying? I don't know
absolutely. I hope it's not the theme. I hope that it does what it's supposed to do, and it gives us a phenomenal superhero film. And I love that you brought up Wonder Woman, because there was the tone of that, but what happened was, is it was a phenomenal tone. It was a story that needed to be told, and absolutely. And they did everything to make that perfect. It wasn't a story because Wonder Woman, you know, was in trouble and needed help from somebody else. Like, Wonder Woman was a badass killer superhero for that. Yep. And Black Panther's going to be the same thing. It needs to be. I hope the, you know, scenes of other cameoed superheroes don't try to take away the thunder of Black Panther. Let's stick on the Black Panther. Let's stick on the phenomenal story of there. So I 100% agree.
Exploited.
No.
Like, I don't want that to be an exploitation that we're going to take advantage of this, you know, this movement by throwing out this movie and trying to make money off of it. And I don't think it is. But somebody's going to say something about that. And someone's going to try to drop that, you know, that line into a tweet or you know, some sort of angle on an article or whatever. And I don't want any of that noise, man. That's just hate. And
absolutely. And this movie doesn't deserve that. And you know, I the reason why I bring it up is because I hope someone doesn't try to do that more than anything. You know, I really hope. And I don't want that to be the reason why we got it when we got it, the reasons why we got it. I want it to be because we had phenomenal fans of this character that knew this was a absolutely keystone character for this tale of the Marvel Universe. It wasn't just because we had to get this person in there to get this person in there. And I'm glad that I don't think that's the theme. I don't get that feeling at all. When they came on stage, when that cast came on stage at Comic-Con this last year, the best panel of the day, the coolest cast of the day, the best director of the day, there was nothing better than Black Panther at Comic-Con, in my opinion. I loved everything they did on stage, the trailer they dropped on us. Last year's Comic-Con was that much better because Black Panther was there. It was phenomenal. It was an absolutely amazing piece to it. So, like I said, I might be too hyped for this film. And it's so exciting, dude. And I love it. And I don't want to get, like you said, we're not going to get too deep down that rabbit hole. We're here to talk about movies, no other themes or scenes like that. But I think it's going to be a big, I hope it's not a big part. I hope that we get what we deserve out of this film, and just a phenomenal superhero flick.
For sure. For sure.
Absolutely. So movies in February, right off the top, man, the first thing that comes to mind, obviously, is Black Panther. There's just nothing else that is, I think this is going to be not only the best movie of the month by far, I think it could be one of the best movies of the year. I mean, this thing has been getting built up and built up, the world around it. We've had all these hints, all these amazing actors and actresses in this thing. I mean, this might be, and I mean, we might have to look this up, but I mean, there's some of the best actors and actresses in this, and they might have more like Oscar nominated actors and actresses in this Black Panther film than any other Marvel superhero films had. So I think it's going to be really cool. I think this is such a cool cast. I can't wait for it. So February is got a lot, they do have a pretty good amount of stuff coming out. Obviously, I mean, some of the stuff on the list isn't going to be in theaters. You know, 15, 17 to Paris, Winchester. Yep, I'm
interested. It's dropping tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the new Clint Eastwood film, right?
Well, it's no. I don't know if Clint is he directing it now. I got to look it up.
Yeah, he might be.
That's the one that's based on that you know, the true story of the train in Europe that's being overtaken by terrorists in the I don't want to give away any spoil. Well, it's a true history. It just happened like 5 years ago, not even 5 years ago.
Yeah, and it is Clint Eastwood did direct it. So that's exciting.
You know, it's basically stopped this terrorist attack. And yeah, so Clint Eastwood is directing it. So that's, I can't wait for that. I love, I think I said this last time, I love movies that have a historical, that are either based on history and a historical events, or that are like those set period pieces. Like I really dig that stuff. So that's like why I was so interested in Hostiles, because it's that kind of that period piece aspect to it. So I love that type of stuff.
And actually, you know what, Hostiles, you know, I don't want to get down that subject, but Hostiles actually handled the race issue very well. I actually loved kind of how they did it. They do have a black soldier in that film, and somebody even calls it out, like, why do you keep him around? You know, his skin color is different. And they talk about it doesn't matter because, you know, he's earned everything that he's here for. You know, he's earned the stripes on his shoulders. He's gone to war. He's gone to battle. And he's done everything better than any of us have in a lot of those times. And I loved that. I loved what Hostiles did on such a large scale and scope. And it was one of those things in that film, that kind of stuff, it's not, you know, it's not a theme of it, but what happens is, you know, they know those kind of conversations would happen in that time and in that piece. It's not something that'd be normal for a lot of those areas. And what's great about it is they're just like, nah, like he's a brother in arms, man. He's absolutely the person we want on our, with us and our backs right now. So, I loved that. I loved that about Hostiles. It was so well done. You felt dirty and dusty and grimy with those soldiers in that film. It was great, man. It really was. I'm so glad I got to see that film in the theater. That is a theater film. 100%.
Okay, it's on my list of things to watch this week, and I actually bumped Winchester off the list. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get to that
because
have other things that I really want to see. And so,
well, yeah, because you also have 50 Shades Freed, so you have your new your third or fourth 50 Shades movie.
No, that's the punishment film. We've talked about this.
Yeah, that might be the punishment film if we don't get our act together here and get some movies watched, man. And the thing that would really suck is I haven't seen the first two of those films. I'll have no idea what's going on in the third movie, so
like that's gonna be the bad part. no hate on this show. No hate.
No, zero. No hate at all. Just throwing some love out there. Throwing a little salt in the Kool-Aid is what I like to call that, little salt in the Kool-Aid. So
now I know what one of your movies is, but go ahead and start with what's your count at?
So I'm at 9. I'm currently at 9. I hit my 8 for January. Right at the last minute there, threw my Hail Mary. And unlike Tom Brady, I actually got a touchdown on it because I watched Maze Runner Death Cure, and it was phenomenal. Yes. That was a great way to end the month of January for our quest for 100 to start off. And I really enjoyed it. I hate that I went and saw reviews after I watched the film of people not really enjoying it. It didn't have much of a score on Rotten Tomatoes critics-wise, but I'm glad the fans, you know, I always trust the fans a little bit more with movies like that. I know it's not going to be critically acclaimed by any means, but man, it was fun. I really had a fun time with Death Cure.
Yeah, so I'm also at 9 movies now.
Nice.
I hit Death Cure as well. I watched the first two. My oldest son has read all the books, and so he didn't enjoy it as much. He was like, I can't believe they missed this part and that part. And but you know what? It was a fun flick, man. It had a lot of action in it. It had some suspense. It had
some heart. It had some real heart in that flick. I dug that for sure.
Lots of heart, actually. Like when you talk the major themes of like forgiveness and like reconciliation and friendship and like heartbreak, like lots and lots of major themes. I have a story for you about Death Cure, though. What's funny is I have a story about every one of the movies that I watched.
All right. Yeah. Let's go.
So my Death Cure story is I almost went ballistic in the theater.
Ooh, like, what'd you do?
Luckily, it was my son's birthday, and he had one of his friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like my wife and I had my brother. So like there was like 7 of us in the theater watching this movie, but probably about like 4 or 5 rows up were what I can only guess is like teenage girls, but they sounded like older teenage girls, and they were talking throughout most of the movie. And in very like, in some of like the most like intense moments, you're getting the no, don't do that. I almost stood up and yelled, shut the F up at him. I was about that close, and I looked over at my son and his friend. I was like, nope. I'm going to be a good dad right now. I'm just going to shut my mouth. And
that was a good dad move. That was a strong dad move.
It for me, though. I was ticked off, dude. That was when I was like, I need that text line so I can be like, yo, come get these ladies out of the theater because they are ruining it right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so 2 other movies that I saw. Now, I will tell you about these 2 movies have Academy Award nominees in them. They have Oscar nominations in them. And I absolutely 100% understand why now. So I took your advice and I went and saw Shape of Water.
Yes.
It is, as of now, and it's going to be hard to top, it is my favorite movie that I have seen now in 2018. Guillermo del Toro better win a freaking Oscar for Best Director. The soundtrack is up for an Oscar as well. And our girl, Octavia Spencer, I believe, is up for
supporting. Absolutely. I loved it.
And Sally Hawkins, I think, is actually nominated. As well, and he definitely deserves something too.
I agree. I would love to see Sally Hawkins win leading. I don't know how she will. There were some very strong female performances, and I just feel that Shape of Water is not going to get the love it deserves. Guillermo del Toro, I believe, is up for Best Director though of this, or it's that or screenplay and or both. I think it's got 6 or 7 nominations, so I hope he scores big with this one. I can't tell you how much I believe he deserves that. So.
I'd love to come back and talk about the movie here in a few moments. Okay.
Perfect. So let's go back through the list of some February films.
Well, let me talk about my last one. And then we'll
okay.
Go back
yeah. Yeah. For sure. One. Absolutely.
Let's. I want to make sure we hit Shape of Water before the end.
Okay? Deal.
Last movie I saw, I told you I love history. I saw Darkest Hour.
Oh yeah, you did. That's right.
Darkest Hour has Gary Oldman portraying Winston Churchill. And he's actually up for Best Actor. And dude, he absolutely killed it. Like, spot on performance. I had one of my buddies with me who's a big time history buff. And we've seen like the Churchill speeches, like in the old black and white, you know, films, whatever. Dude, he just nailed the mannerisms, the speech. The little speech impediments even that Churchill had.
So real quick. So because Gary Oldman does not look anything like Winston Churchill at all. How was things like the makeup and stuff like that to kind of transform him? Like how much of it was really him? How much of it, you know,
he had to put on some weight.
Oh, did he? Okay.
he had to have put on some weight because it didn't look, let me put it to you this way. Like, I looked, I couldn't tell that, like, oh, there's a whole bunch of makeup. Like, this is it looked natural. He just looked amazing, sounded amazing. Like I said, all the little mannerisms, the way he walked, the way he talked, just a phenomenal movie. Now, the negative to this is, if you've seen Dunkirk, this felt like it was this movie and Dunkirk were one big giant movie, and then they cut it and split it in half. Really?
How did that? I mean, what do you mean by that? Like, were they taking place at the same time? Was it around that moment there?
The movie takes place when Churchill takes office, which is the Nazis have already invaded Europe.
Okay.
And they've just started to invade France when Churchill gets put into, Neville Chamberlain gets kicked out of office, has to resign, and then Churchill comes in. And that's where it starts. And the movie goes from there until Dunkirk.
Gotcha.
So leads up to Dunkirk. So it's almost one of those, like, you could watch that and then turn around and watch Dunkirk, and you'd actually have a pretty cool little World War II. You know, maybe even you could watch Pearl Harbor.
A nice, like, British World War II section right there. Like, that's awesome. Did you watch Dunkirk at all?
No, I didn't.
So what was really cool about Dunkirk is they did have some moments in there where they showed, like, newspapers and clips of some of the Churchill speeches, and and I'm sure, hopefully the what is the movie called again? I can't believe I
forgot. Darkest Hour
does this as well. Is you realize just not so much, you know, Winston Churchill was like this amazing human being or whatever. I don't know about him, but how much that country needed him because of how well he spun everything into a win for the British, and what could have been looked at as disasters and horrible things during that war where they got beat up in a lot of different ways, his speeches, his tones, his press releases were absolute wins for the country, and how excited and how much they cared for and supported their men and women that served and were there and being a part of that British, you know, nation, if you will. And man, he was phenomenal at that. I can't believe how cool that was in Dunkirk, and hopefully Darkest Hour showed some more of that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's kind of the main theme of this, is that he's basically in opposition with his own party and the other party, that they don't want him in office. They think he's too much of a loose cannon because of, like, previous issues that have happened. And you actually have some of them that are intentionally trying to cause strife to get him kicked out of office. Meanwhile, there's like 300,000 British troops that are in France that are, like, going to die if something doesn't happen.
Wow.
And there's this moment where Churchill's like, he's driving, he's going to Parliament, and then he just stops and gets out of the car, and it's the middle of the rain, goes and gets on the subway, and he's riding the subway with the people. And that was from a true story. And he's basically just talking to the common people. And dude, there was a moment, I'm not gonna lie, dude, like, I was getting all teary eyed with just the way he was communicating with them. And he's like, should we, you know, basically it was like, should we talk about negotiating a treaty with the Nazis and peace with the Nazis, or should we keep fighting? And they're like, no, we won't accept peace with Hitler. Like, absolutely not. We will fight until, like, it's in our streets, and we'll bleed and die before that happens. And
wow, it's just, how cool is that, man?
Dude, it was amazing. Like, total goosebumps. And like, yeah, you felt like that. That's what that movie is about, was rallying the entire country to do the impossible, which really did seem impossible at that time. So
yeah,
really
absolutely. Cool movie. Well, especially, you know, especially during World War II, where, you know, everything looked like devastation and the end of the world. You know, the Germans were, I mean, an unstoppable force for the most part. And that really is a testament of Winston Churchill and how great of a leader he was. Where, you know, man, you talk about, like, they didn't want him in office. You know, the political side, you know, they weren't fans. But what he did for the people, that's the bigger thing. You know, that's a huge piece. So how cool. That's awesome. That's really good to hear that. Do you think anybody's got a chance against Gary Oldman for leading actor of the year after that?
I mean, I still wouldn't count out Daniel Day-Lewis from Phantom Thread, because I saw that one as well. Just because the character acting he did is amazing, but
God, yeah, he's good.
I mean, my favorite, Oldman's my favorite performance so far. I mean, it was amazing. Just nice. The way he captured that feeling and that essence of Churchill. So those are my three. I'm at 9 as well. So I am one behind count, but I'm going to try to make up for it with watching 3 of them this weekend. So.
Cool. That's perfect, man. I'm excited for that then. For the rest of our films of February, we've got Peter Rabbit, Domhnall Gleeson is starring in that one. I don't know what that's going to be. Entanglement, Bomb City. Obviously, the following after that, we have the legendary, soon to be legendary, Black Panther will be releasing. Early Man with Eddie Redmayne, Maisie Williams, and Tom Hiddleston. It's an animated film.
That one's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
That's the little cartoon.
Yep, absolutely. You know, we've got stuff, documentaries called The Poop Talk with Kumail Nanjiani. You've got Samson, one of the new stories from the Bible with Billy Zane and Jackson Rathbone. Happy End, Detective Chinatown, Irreplaceable You. Oh, that's Netflix. The Party is going to be out. Nostalgia. I don't know what any of these, some of these flicks. Like I said, it just doesn't seem great. Annihilation. So this is that new Natalie Portman flick. Have you seen the trailers for that?
I don't think I have.
So this is the one where she is like her husband, boyfriend, whatever it is in the service and military. And he like has to go and investigate some alien force field that's out in the world. He doesn't come back, or at least he comes back and he's pretty messed up from it. They send Natalie Portman and a few others in after the last crew that came back, or the last crew that didn't come back except for Natalie's husband, I think, something like that. But it's looks very sci-fi, looks very okay. Almost suspense flick.
Yeah, man, Natalie Portman, so
yeah, right. No, it looks very interesting. And what's been great is the trailers haven't really shown anything at all on it, so that's got me excited for that.
I know how much you like when a trailer doesn't give away the movie.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of that.
I know the Big Papa Matt. You're like, don't tell me the dang movie. I want to go watch it myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't let me decide what I like. And then we've
March
got.
March is gonna be insane though, so we will make up for it in March.
In March, yeah, we'll see.
There's a lot going on in March. I mean,
yeah,
Ready Player One, of course.
Oh my gosh, that's right! Holy hell, that's in March. This is gonna be a good first quarter for movies.
Yeah, The Silent Place, which I know you've been waiting for quite a while, and Isle of Dogs is gonna be in March as well.
Yeah, Isle of Dogs, A Quiet Place, both of those would be great.
I can't wait, dude. March is gonna be amazing. So gotta push on through February though. We'll get through.
It's all right. February could have the best movie of the year in Black Panther. So yeah, that's the more important thing with them.
Well, and it gives us a chance to go watch some other like less known things too, that you never know what might be, you know, just this amazing flick until you get out there and go watch it. So
yeah, no doubt about it. The Cured, Everyday, Survivor's Guide.
Oh, when does Every Day come out?
Every Day is February 23rd.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that. That's that one where the person wakes up in a different body every day.
Yeah.
That was the one I was telling you about.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this person wakes up in a different body every day, but then falls in love with this girl. And so, like, and the girl then understands that, like, this person really is living one day in a different person. And it's just, it's a cool concept, man. It's a really cool little concept. So
nice.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah, I think that'll be cool. Like I said, when I first saw the trailer after you told me about it, it just reminded me of a phenomenal Japanese film called Your Name. and your name was about a boy and a girl in Japan, one growing up in Tokyo, one growing up in a local village outside of Tokyo, and them all of a sudden waking up one day and being in each other's bodies, teenagers, and kind of having to like go through the day as this new human being that they have no idea what's going on. But what was a really cool twist about it is they ended up, you know, going to sleep and then waking back up in their own bodies. And then a few days later, for some reason, going and switching bodies again. So then they're having to like leave each other notes and text messages and all these things of like, don't screw up my life, dude. Like, you got to go do these things for me. You know, you got to go take care of my grandma. And then he's like, you know, you got to, this girl really likes me at work. You got to date her. Don't mess that up for me. Like, I'm spitting game, you know, like it's a really, really cool take on that kind of body switching movie, if you will, the Freaky Friday ish kind of stuff. And I think the everyday has a really, really cool concept of it, where different people keep finding the same girl like that. So I thought that was awesome. I thought that was really cool too.
Yeah, totally agree.
And then Half Magic and The Lodgers. So I don't really know either of those, any of those either. So we'll see.
We'll see as we get closer.
Yeah,
we'll see absolutely. As we get desperate.
As we're struggling to hit 8 films this month, we'll have to figure it out.
He said, I got a dollar theater, man. I can always go watch an oldie. As long as I haven't seen it before, I'm still watching it in theater. I think it counts.
Yeah, absolutely, right? Yeah, no, I still have The Post. I still haven't watched The Post yet, and that's still running in theaters near me, so I can go catch that, too. So that'll
help. Yeah, you should definitely go catch that. So, Shape of Water.
Shape of Water. Let's hear it.
I have an amazing Shape of Water story. I know you already know this story. But I know you're giggling already. I know you know this story because I texted you when it was happening in the theater. Like, I don't pull my phone out and text often. I love you.
I can't hold it. I'm trying not to laugh into the mic. I'm about to have to mute the mic because I'm already laughing.
Okay. So my wife and I are going to watch Shape of Water, and it's at one of our big megaplexes, but they had it in a small theater, so that was kind of cool because it kind of had the small theater feel to it still. It's like the one they use for like the special premieres and all that stuff. My wife and I are sitting in the back of the theater because we don't want to be like totally social. It's got to be the right movie if I want to be in the crowd.
Yeah, for sure. And that's cool that you're like, the megaplexes. I always like the little side theaters a little bit more because it means it's a theater. It's a movie that's not going to be super popular usually. So that's cool.
Yeah. So, and there weren't a lot of people in it. There were only about 10 people in this movie. But when there are 10 people and you could tell it's like, all right, this is a cool cat.
This is going to be a cool crowd. This is going to be a cool crowd.
Yeah, I like that. It's not like the Death Cure where I got people heckling up in the front, you know, I don't need to hear that, you know, I'm trying to enjoy a movie. So anyway, we're in the back of the theater watching the movie, or it's about to start, and in comes dude and his wife and two kids. And I look over at my wife and I go, this is a Guillermo del Toro movie. Like, probably not the best movie to bring kids to. Like,
well, not only, it's a rated R Guillermo del Toro movie. Like, this is like, not a 13.
So they sit down and like the kids are like running around in like the seats, like close to us and stuff, like not even like really controlled. And the first scene, the opening scene of the movie comes on, and I won't get too graphic, but it has nudity in it, and more than just nudity. It's,
just say it. Just say it. Just say what she does. It's Twitch, and it's a technical term. Well, actually, she's pleasuring herself to release with an egg timer.
Yes, in the bathtub. And I look at my wife, and we're mortified. We're like, I can't believe these people brought their kids, and this is what's happening. And all of a sudden, the guy turns around and looks at us, and he goes, "Is this Jumanji?" Like, we're like, no, Water, this is not Jumanji.
She's playing a game, but it ain't Jumanji. That's
what my wife goes, well, It is. They are playing a game. There's a creature, and they're playing a game. That's for sure.
Oh my god, I'm crying, dude. Oh, and, that's the best. When you text me that, I was out. I was still like, a friend was over. I think we just got done with work. We're having beers or something. And I just remember seeing that text. I started laughing, and he's like, "What is so funny? Like, show me." I was like, "Dude, you're not even gonna get it because you haven't seen this movie. It was so good."
And then you had to explain the scene to him, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then I had to explain the scene, and he's like, "I don't think I'm gonna go watch Shape of Water now." I was like, "Oh, dude, like it's so good. Like, oh."
It is. Yeah. Don't. By the way, don't let that. There's only two scenes with brief. Well, two, three, maybe three scenes with brief nudity. If you were to take those scenes out, by the way, it would easily be a PG-13 movie. And it's an amazing story. It is an amazing, amazing story. Beautiful, beautiful story. Very well done. Yeah, I can't say enough about that movie. I absolutely loved it.
What it did for me is you know, people talk about like things like period pieces, right? Like Hostels and The Darkest Hour. You know, those are great period pieces, right? Those are great, put you in a moment, put you in an era of a movie. What Shape of Water does way better than either of those two is it puts you not only in an environment, but it puts you in a great, it puts you in a mood. It puts you in an emotional state, if you will.
The emotion of what's going on, yeah.
Yeah, so it has you in an emotional state, and it's not just the writing and the acting and the directing, but it's the small things like the environments and the set pieces and the music. The music is beautiful in this film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't gush enough about Shape of Water, and I'm so glad you got to watch it because it was going to be hard to hold back much longer to not be able to talk about the Shape of Water.
Man, the music just carries that emotion from scene to scene. And to the ending of the movie where it's just, it's dark and there's a lot going on. And like you said, it makes you absolutely hate, what's his name?
The guy. Oh, Michael Shannon. Hell yeah, man. Like, oh my God.
Hey, this dude's evil. You know, I don't like this guy, but. You know who I really, really loved in the movie? I mean, first of all, Sally Hawkins, who plays, she's mute in the movie. Her body language, the way that she acts without speaking and talks without speaking in that way of using that body language, using facial expression, just phenomenal. But is it Richard Jenkins?
Oh, the next door neighbor. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I believe so.
Plays like her roommate, next door neighbor, kind of best friend. Phenomenal. Like he had an amazing part in that movie as well.
Funny,
funny character.
And I loved the treatment of his character. You know, this movie is very much about Eliza and her story at work and the things that are going on where she meets this creature. But what was great about her neighbor's story is it was a traditional story with untraditional characters. And yes. I think more than anything, that's what Guillermo del Toro does best is he gives you phenomenal stories and sometimes very traditional stories, but he gives them to you in such untraditional and unusual ways that make it absolutely captivating, unstoppable to watch. And absolutely phenomenal. And he knocked out of the park with this. And like I said, I know I'm gushing and I'm totally swinging from his ball sack right now, but he deserves it. And he's got some large, big old nuts because he can support this big fat man swinging on him right now. So I loved it. I loved it.
You know, the other thing that we're talking about and I'm thinking about it is the connection between the characters. You have Sally Hawkins, who's playing a mute, so playing someone who is considered stupid in the movie, even though she's far from it.
Yeah, well, and during that time piece, you know,
because of the disability, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's a woman on top of that.
Absolutely.
You have Octavia Spencer, who is a black woman, who's being treated differently because of her color. And then you have the next door neighbor, who is being treated differently because of who he loves.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And there's that very interesting thing that Guillermo did with connecting those three characters together in their struggle together. And there's that moment where all three of them come together to support each other, really, and to support Sally Hawkins' character, Eliza, in what she's going through.
Yeah, and not only for all of their struggles to combine together, but then to help out a fourth's struggles and a fourth's differences, mm-hmm. and help them along the way, yes. because they've all had the support of each other, and now they're supporting another, and that sense of community, and that's what I love about that.
The scientists too.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah,
a whole other country, like, dude, and a whole big crazy background. I'm not gonna even say it. Like, for him, even like what could be considered an enemy to come alongside. Just wow, dude, a phenomenal story, Guillermo.
Absolutely, not worth bow to you, sir.
You
are amazing.
You put out an amazing movie. It's gonna be hard to top that. Even the most amazing movie is going to be hard to top the feelings that you get when you watch Shape of Water.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that they took away, I love that they actually, how they treated Sally Hawkins' character, Eliza. And I love that they took away her voice, because it wasn't the words that she was saying that mattered. It wasn't the story that was around her that mattered. It was the emotions that she was feeling. And how it doesn't matter where those emotions come from or who they're from or who they're towards. It matters that they are emotions, and they're emotions we've all felt. There's emotions we've all had, and they're emotions that, for some of us, they're the best and fondest that we've ever had. Yeah. And that's that, like I said, that was the greatest part about this, is it wasn't the set, you know, those little things, all those little ambiances and pieces, it is part of that, but it's not the time period. It's not the clothes they're wearing. It was the emotions that were meant to be felt during that film. And I think Guillermo del Toro hit every single one of those pieces, and you have to go watch it. If you are out there and you have not watched The Shape of Water, you are doing yourself a disservice. You really are missing out on a phenomenal, phenomenal film.
Well, and what's cool too is you were talking about it last week, and we were talking about how it was only available in like one theater for me. I went and watched it, and literally the next day after I watched it. No, it was the day after we talked, the day after we recorded. I saw the tweet from Guillermo that was like, "Thank you so much for your support. We're now, you know, in theaters nationwide."
Hell yes.
I actually finally got the big boost it needed. So like right now it's in all my major theaters.
Nice.
And you know, this movie came out like in December, right?
First part of December, I think, is what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's almost like it's that re-release into the theater, because it didn't get a lot of push and it didn't get a lot of love at first. And that is the one thing that some of the awards have helped, the nominations have helped done, is like bring spotlight to it, that like, this is an amazing movie that needs to be watched.
Yeah.
And people need to have the opportunity to go see it. So, yeah, big shout out to, you know, the theaters that we love and we go to support, because they play phenomenal movies.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? People can talk about how, you know, the Oscars are a racket and they're, you know, they have to pay to get done and win these competitions and things like that. But what I love about the Oscars and what it does most is it brings a spotlight to so many movies that don't have it. Mm-hmm. And every year there's a new movie that is out there that's in the theaters that's not getting the boost it needs, but all of a sudden it catches Oscar buzz. And that Oscar buzz boosts it to national historical levels. You know, this year I feel Shape of Water is getting a lot of that, and I love that. Last mm-hmm. year, La La Land got a ton of that, as well as Moonlight got a ton of it as well, which was awesome. The other one, though, which I was one of my favorite movies from last year, and I'm actually going to look it up right now, was Fences. Fences was a movie that I had no idea it was out. I had no idea what was going on with it. I knew Denzel Washington was in it after obviously seeing posters and things. I recognized him, as well as Viola Davis. I knew she was coming up as well. I knew her photos from, I think, what does she do? Like, what's the show that she does? Anyway, she's on a very famous show. I can't think of it. Anyways, I knew those two actors, but what I didn't realize is they're in a movie together, and I didn't realize it was a phenomenal movie to watch. And I saw Fences last year, and it blew me away, and I realized that Viola Davis might be one of the greatest actresses ever. You know, last week I talked about, I gave Octavia Spencer love. I'm going to give this one because Viola Davis deserves some love. And it's been a year plus since Fences came out, but, I will watch anything else she's in. You know, Viola is already phenomenal in things, little roles, in, Suicide Squad and things like that. But in Fences, she goes toe to toe with arguably one of the best actors in our time right now with Denzel Washington. And she acts circles around him, like blows him out of the water. He cannot compete with that level. Viola Davis crushes him in that film, and it is phenomenal. It really is. So I like when the Oscars come around because some movies pop up on the radar that aren't going to get the love they deserve, aren't going to get the dollars they deserve. And until they get that Oscar buzz is when they finally catch forward. And I've been watching For Shape of Water since the summer of last year. We talked about it in our one of our main shows with Malice Cast. You know, I talked about Shape of Water. I gave it a spotlight for indie films you've got to watch out for the winter. And I was blown away when I saw that it was only getting a small release. I was so bummed, and it took me, I had to find it. I really had to search to find a theater with it. And luckily I've got an Alamo Draft House out here in the Bay Area. And, you know, I had a 45-minute drive to get to an Alamo Draft House to watch this film, and it was worth every minute of that drive. I was so happy about it.
Yeah, I was prepared. I was prepared to go on a drive myself, and it wasn't 45 minutes. It would have been about 20 miles or so. But still, I was prepared to go on that drive to go watch that movie after talking to you.
Yeah. Well, it was only a 45-minute drive, but it was only like 20 miles because I had to go across the Bay Bridge. So yeah. That took a while. You know, that's a little bit of traffic I had to get through to get there. So that's my own fault. You have to use time in the Bay Area. You can't use miles because people are like, 20 miles, that's nothing, man. Well, in the Bay Area, it's a drive. Like, you rethink everything you do in 20 miles in the Bay. So
remember, I used to live in LA, so I
oh yeah, my, yeah, yeah, for sure. Then
that you can't even say it. You just have to say I'm coming from LA.
Yeah.
I can't tell you 3 hours from now. I can't tell you 100 miles. I just have to tell you where I'm starting this journey. I'll see you when I see you.
Yeah, absolutely. So Hostiles was phenomenal. Gosh, why do I, this is the one actor I space on all the time, Batman,
Christian Bale.
Jeez Louise. Yeah, so Hostiles was phenomenal. Christian Bale, I just don't know why I can never remember that damn dude's name. I always call him Batman for some reason, even though he's like my third favorite. I always end up calling him, you know, it's so bad. I can never remember his name. Anyways, Hostiles. So I'm trying to think. I probably should have looked some things up and done some research for this amazing podcast of some of the things the other director has done. Once again, really good films as well. But something about this flick, man, the set pieces out in the wild, coming across the Midlands of the United States for this story, there was something so brutal about the cinematography and the director, how he shot this film. Nice. From the get-go, you realize that this is a movie that's going to be brutal.
Okay.
One of the first scenes in this flick was just like, whoa. I mean, heart-wrenching, crazy, over the top. And you realize after probably the third time that these big scenes and action set pieces go on, that this is going to be a movie with a lot of loss, and there's going to be a lot of meaning and heartbreak behind some of these. And holy hell, was it a... I loved it. I had a phenomenal time watching this film. The main actress in this from Gone Girl was fantastic. She was emotional. She was a great lead for this film. There was one part where she had this like super big scream moment. I wasn't a huge fan of it. It was kind of weird. It was a little over the top in my opinion. But anyways, besides that moment, I loved Hostiles. I loved every minute of it. It was a ton of kind of unexpected, you know, friendships and bundles and, you know, allies, if you will, bed partners that, you know, bed partners, that's kind of a weird put together, but kind of like partners in crime, if you will. It was different, man. And I really loved it. I loved the set pieces. I loved the story it told. All the acting was phenomenal. All the directing was great. Just the action sequences, the sets and the looks of everything, you definitely felt like you were a part of what was going on here. You felt dirty and dried, and, you know, little things like their, you know, lips being chapped and hands looking, you know, it was so good, man. I loved everything about it. Yeah. You know, Christian Bale is such a phenomenal actor. You know, you don't realize how good of a character actor he is until he's outside of something like the Bat Suit, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. When you start looking back on films with like The Machinist and things like that, you're just like, yeah. Holy hell. And this is one of those those flicks where you go, shit, that's Christian Bale. Like, that dude is awesome.
So just a couple of weeks ago on Malice Cast Live, we were talking about, I was talking about Jim Carrey. I was talking about that documentary, Jim and Andy.
Yeah, it's a great one.
And just how phenomenal, like, Jim Carrey is as an actor. When you think about, he pretty much was Andy Kaufman for that entire filming of that movie. He woke up as Andy Kaufman. He went home as Andy Kaufman. He interacted with Andy Kaufman's daughter, like,
and his parents, you know, his dad is Andy Kaufman, you know, yeah.
Like, and we were talking about how Christian Bale is that same type of, on that same kind of level as character acting, that he just gets just so immersed in the characters that he plays. And that's why he does such a phenomenal job. And like, Batman aside, you can love Batman, you can hate Batman. Dark Knight is still my favorite Batman movie ever. And guess Absolutely. What? He was Batman. So, yeah. You know, it was probably more about Heath Ledger than him, but still, you know, yeah. he did an awesome job, man. We can't. But the other movies he has been in have just been phenomenal. So yeah, I'm looking super, super looking forward to seeing Hostiles this weekend. And
I really recommend it. I don't think it's been getting the highest ratings from what I saw on things like Rotten Tomatoes, stuff like that. Obviously, you know, you could take that for what it is. Some people who live and die by Rotten Tomatoes. I always take it with a grain of salt. You know, I always take it with a grain of salt with those types of things. Like, it definitely is a little bit of a barometer. Like, if everything is bad on it, viewer, fans, critics, things like that is low, I'll take a little bit of, you know, oh, whoa, maybe I'll rethink that flick. But when they're super opposite opinions either way, I absolutely want to go see a flick, you know, that it has some good in it. So, and that's what this is about. You know, I tell you guys all the time, you know, a second episode here, and I talk about it on Nerd Mosh Pit and other shows that we do here with Malice Core. And I love films. It's hard for me to really hate something or not like right. something. And God, man, Hostiles was really good. And I do struggle to see where, you know, the length, yeah, you can say stuff like that, whatever, but man, I loved it. I thought Hostiles was phenomenal.
Awesome. Well, sounds like we hit it out of the park this last 2 weeks with seeing some great movies, man. Yeah. We both saw Death Cure, you saw Hostiles, I saw Darkest Hour, and I saw Shape of Water, and that's right there. That's a pretty good lineup, man.
Yeah, that's a good run. That's a good run of movies, man. We got to do it. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to lie, I was a little worried coming in. I was like, damn, we're going to have to do this. I haven't really seen a whole lot. I've been playing a ton of Monster Hunter, and I've been playing Shadow of the Colossus and World of Warcraft. And it's like, hold on, wait a second. I watched two phenomenal films since the last time we recorded. So right. That's awesome.
Yes. And hopefully by next time, you know, we'll have watched five phenomenal movies.
Yeah, because, you know, we're not doing this every week. You know, we're doing this, you know, once a month or so, every few weeks, things like that. So, you know, we're going to make sure we have plenty of time to get some good flicks and talk to you guys about some phenomenal films. So what we're going to ask you guys is, you know, unless B's got anything else, you know, I want to make sure that you guys are letting us know what movies you've seen. What movies you'd like us to see. If you're excited for anything, obviously everybody's excited for Black Panther. If you guys want to have some fun with it, Let us know, you know, if you think any kind of crazy characters, or if you'd like to see a crazy cameo from the Marvel Universe appear in Black Panther to try to steal the show, you can throw that in there, you know, in the comments and the chats. But follow us as well, so you can, you guys can, first of all, you can find this podcast as part of the family of podcasts with Malice Corps. The Quest for 100 is on the website. It's ready to go for it anytime, but you can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Make sure to like, subscribe, share with your friends, your family, your enemies, your exes, your new to soon to be exes, all of your friends on Facebook and Twitter and anything else you got. You know, if you have a phenomenal, you know, what are those, what are the things called? Why can't I think of it? I'm totally blanking now. Yeah, I'll think of it later when Beacon's going to go right now. Snapchat, you can absolutely Snapchat. Yeah, Instagram, your Pinterest. That's what I meant. You can pin it if you got some followers with your Pinterest. I don't care. Let people know about the Quest 100. We can't tell you guys how much we appreciate the love, the fun that we've been having with you guys so far. Email us at questfor100movies@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at questformovies. And Beacon, where can everybody find you at, man?
You can follow me at Beacon_MaliceCorp on Twitter, as well as PlayStation Network if you want to get some Monster Hunter going.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. No, and you guys can find me, the Big Papa Matt. Malice Corps as well is also on Twitter as the Big Papa Matt. And PlayStation Network, Son of Maku, SONOFMAKU. If you guys want to play some Monster Hunter, some Shadow of the Colossus, anything else, I got your back on that. Let me know. Let's have some fun. And we can't thank you guys enough for all your time. That is going to be the end of Quest for 100. Beacon, anything else from you?
Yeah, hey, just make sure you check out our main website, www.malice-corp.com, for all our articles and news and our other podcasts that we do. And please go follow us on Twitch, which is hopefully where you're watching this. And that is, of course, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp. So, again, give us a like, give us a follow. Give us your comments. We love to get feedback. I don't know about Matt, but I actually love feedback. Even if it's not the best, you know, news in the world, I like to know what we're doing well, what we can get better at. So drop us a line. Let us know what you've been watching, what you want us to watch. And until next time, don't quest alone.
Never quest alone. And if you want to send us any hate mail, make sure to send those to mest5150@gmail.com, because we only love the good stuff. So once again, those 5 stars, we love you guys. Thank you so much. And friends, never let friends quest alone. Thank you.
Peace.
Then let us be rid of it. Once and for all.
It's a dangerous business, Frodo. Going out your door, you step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye! Bye.